You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, and we're live. This is a Death Pit edition to the podcast. Welcome, guys. Bunch of nerds in this place, and we're all feeling awkward as fuck. thanks for doing this. I can't even talk on my mic, but we're at the Podcast Detroit studio, just hanging out, drinking some beers, and we're going to be talking about a little thing we did in January where we all were sober for a month. So let's go around the room and kind of introduce ourselves. So I have with me here Alex.
I'm Alex Morawski. Yeah. I was not sober for that month.
But we're going to get more into that. Yeah, and we have Steve here.
I'm Steve. Steve. Yeah. I was sober.
Try to talk a little closer into the mic.
Like this?
Yeah. But, and we have Bo here.
What's up, Mike? I'm Bo. Yep. I completed the sober month as well.
And we have B.
I was sober for a month.
So, before we get started, I fucking don't know how to do any of this shit, but you can find all these episodes on my website at trainerpodcast.com. Find Ultimate Nerd Podcast, all that good stuff. And yeah, so. How was everybody's month in sober January?
Fucking awful.
Yeah.
This wasn't no finger January. Yeah. This was sober January.
Mine was a different
Alex lost a finger, so that's why he didn't – well, part of a finger.
An amputation in Bangkok from a freak boat accident.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to talk about that too with
– we. That's a band name right there.
Amputation.
Don't breathe.
I guess let's kind of bring this back to why we wanted to start this. It was the beginning of the year. You know, we wanted to try to do something a little bit more productive than the Death Pit antics of just keep on trucking. And we, you know,
stole the idea from Jerry. Podcast.
Yeah, the Joe Rogan podcast that they do in October. And B, do you mind explaining kind of, because you were the one that kind of threw it out there.
I was listening to the Joe Rogan experience and then. Yeah, they listening to his podcast when it's in October, it kind of did sound different. Mm-hmm. And he references it a lot of like, he wasn't really bitching about it too much. So it sounded more like it'd be beneficial. And then weighing it under my own scope, I was like, it probably is very beneficial when I realized that, you know, not that it's a problem, but it's also not great that I'm 31 and I've been smoking weed for more than my half-life.
Alleged.
Yeah. And I've been smoking weed. But that's just Don Cheadle smoking weed. But doing it for like more than my half-life and probably not with more than a month off in between, besides at certain times, but not too often in 16 years, that it might not be a bad thing to every year take that month off and put it under the scope on like a Venn diagram and be honest with yourself of the pros and cons. And on the first day I noticed the pros. I noticed the cons, you know, how clear-headed I was, but I realized the pros when shit just doesn't go your way and you want that escape for the night.
Yeah.
That I was looking forward to that when I almost broke my toe. Oh, I know.
It was a good challenge too though. It's like
try to bring up the mic a little bit.
Talking to the side of the mic, not the top.
Like this?
A little bit louder.
All right. Yeah, but you know, I was the same way, though. I was thinking, I'm like, as soon as you like proposed the whole thing to me, I was like, I don't want to do it. This doesn't sound like something that's interests me at all. Like, what the hell did I do with my weekends? I'm like, oh, maybe the fact that I generally don't have much else to do on the weekends besides
when I have
beers, I'm like, oh, maybe I probably should do a month off.
I should say, when I proposed it, I think everybody said no. No one said, no one was like, slammed it down and said absolutely.
No, just because, and it's funny because I'm a big Joe Rogan fanboy, and it's like, in the sense of how much I kind of backtracked on that and was like, of course I'm going to do it because, you know, the Joe Rogan experience. I was definitely against it at the beginning.
Yeah,
for sure.
I thought you were in on the beginning. I didn't know you were.
Well, he was the first
one
to say yes.
2 minutes. And then like everyone was like, yeah, we should. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
Well, I'm a prime example. Sometimes it's just not pragmatic to do nothing without a month because I had to be on painkillers for my hand surgery and stuff.
Yeah, you definitely were.
Had to be.
a part of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's something I'm so excited to. That's my resolution, is to not mitigate pain during open hand surgery.
Let's just kind of put that out there, since we've been talking about this missing finger from Alex. Alex, how did you lose your finger?
There's really not so much to it. It really was just like a freak boating accident. Basically, my hand got caught between a boat and a dock because of the wake of the active river.
Yeah.
And it was just complete free, no horseplay or anything, but it just was a bummer. The first minute of the vacation, and then my wife and I, we were supposed to go from Bangkok to South Thailand and then to Bali, Indonesia for like surfing and scuba. But we spent 62 hours in airplanes and then 4 full days and 2 surgeries in a hospital and not one night in the hotel.
Damn.
But then, yeah, thankfully surgeons were great. The whole surgery only cost $7,500, and trying to fight back for my that's crazy. It would have been $80,000 in the States, at least. That you have to honor that as a unique part of the story. It's just crazy how screwed up our healthcare is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a totally different country.
Yeah. Anyways, it was a freaking nightmare, but we got through it. It could have been way worse. And yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
I just wanted to bring it up, since it's probably like beating a dead horse of how many times you have to tell people about this whole story, especially us that heard it, you know, a bunch of times now.
Yeah, it's no worries.
But
it's still an interesting story, I guess.
I mean, you did obviously take a month off because you were kind of like job searching and shit. So I guess you kind of, you know, did it before us. So
yeah, we had it was also like a stress relief thing is what we were thinking. Because I know, you know, counterintuitively, like it's so wonderful for taking care of normal stress, but it was, we took a full month off, Rach and I, and it was just a perfect release. You know, it's like changes the whole cycle. So when you get back into like drinking or smoking something, it's all of a sudden it feels so, you know, I heard like all your receptors are completely clean after like something as little as like 7 days. So if you take like a little bit of time off, it's like the first time you've ever smoked or drank again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's kind of nice. I mean, honestly, it just redoes your system.
Yeah.
The first week is the hardest week because of that. You still have a bunch of residuals in you.
I didn't think it was so hard to not, honestly.
It wasn't so hard to not, but I'm just like the feeling aspect. Like you'd still, I mean, personally, get the small headaches of like, you know, your body being like, where's that THC at, brother? You know?
Yeah.
And then a couple of days go on, you know, like I have no problem when I go to work. You know, I work for 24-hour shifts, alternate days. So alternating days of the week, I don't touch weed. You know what I mean? And I have no problem with that at work. There's no jonesing.
But you even notice none headaches.
I had just a little bit from the amount that I had been going at. Like my body gets, I think, used to my cycle of like it knows, oh, okay, it's 24-hour period. Let's just hunker down. We'll have fun the next day.
Wean yourself off?
No, like, hell no. I got insanely high the night before.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I ate two brownies. I took as much as I could to the face.
I remember that.
I did too.
I was able to contribute to that. So I was just like going overboard for no reason because I was going to probably carry the load the next day.
See, I had a completely different experience from you guys because you guys – indulge.
Well, you don't really smoke weed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're very,
I mean, you're probably the most between.
You need to get on the weed. It's just
not
so
by
much
choice.
Healthy.
Okay.
No, I know it is.
Yeah, but it's a good thing. If I had it my way, oh, yeah, I would be indulging. But I was trying to get a good job and everything. But, like, I really didn't indulge. I never really was that guy. So, like, I had a different experience because I thought this would be just a breeze. And then, like, that first week, I was like, oh, I think.
Yeah, but you like your booze on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Steve's getting it right.
That was like, And that was like the rough thing was like Friday night after a rough week of work. I just want to sit and play my video games and drink.
Yeah, when you get like your freedom back, you know, it's like you're done with your week of whatever.
I know I have the weekend. Yeah.
And it's like you're at home or even if you want to go out and stuff. But to have that restriction, which, you know, is kind of like the test of this whole month for us.
Yeah.
You know, we all had our different ones. You know, some of us like to go out. Some
it's
of us like
do
to
that.
Do that.
Jesus Christ, Alex. I know like a lot of us, I know I had like, I think we all had like our own little personal sober things too. Because mine was like, I don't play video games all this month. And I think other people had their own little personal ones, right?
Yeah, we had just some little goals. Because this, again, since we were taking this...
Alex, you fucking animal.
There is just so much going on.
You got beer all over your pants.
Is this really that fucking fascinating, pouring a beer? People look at me like, I'm pouring a beer.
It is when you can hear it through the mic.
Well, it's because I'm handicapped. Let's bring it back in. Let's bring it back in. They're looking at a handicapped person with what used to be.
That should be your next tattoo. The wheelchair guy, the handicap symbol.
You can't hold me down. It'll say never back down, never surrender. And it's a handicap symbol.
Because what I usually do on Friday is I'll have a drink and play some video games until like 1 a.m, then just pass out. Yes, I see. Oh, God, you disgusting animal with your fucking finger. Jesus Christ. And then it was like Friday night, 8 o'clock. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, God, motherfucker. I want to play my God of War.
Yeah.
I want to play my Spider-Man. But I ended up like reading like 3 books like during the whole month, which is more than what I've read since fucking like 9th grade. So
you've been on like Audible?
No, I have physical books. I would bring them to the gym and just go on the treadmill.
I didn't doubt your literacy, but do you actually like listen on Audible too?
Well, that was part of the stipulations.
Literally, you've consumed 3 books in any form since 9th grade.
I literally had 3 physical books and read 3 physical books.
How was it the one where Curious George?
Dude, I would get home at like 4 o'clock
and cover your eyes and run in the bedroom. I would
get home at like 4 or 5 and then just sit there and just read until like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. And then
that's good for you. I enjoy books, but they put me to sleep.
Yeah.
Like I get every time I start reading, I'm like, oh fuck, this is cool. And then I wake up.
I think it's because we're so accustomed to so many like distractions and so much more like compelling media now where you're getting it from
audio, video, and it was hard because I was on the couch and then you have your phone. You have your Chromecast, and you're just like, I can be on YouTube right now watching how to build a fence. I can be on YouTube right now watching how to install a brand new dishwasher. Yeah. You know, no.
No. Those
things I know how to do now.
You know, books are obviously really good for you, you know, with just – and there are people that can do that, you know?
Yeah.
I just keep mine out in my kitchen, and whenever I'm sitting there like, eating a meal, I'll just read a couple pages, or if I, you know, I got 5 minutes before I leave somewhere, it's not enough time for you to, you know, go out and – start a new episode on Netflix or something like that. So I'm like, I'll just read for 5 minutes. And
see, I never read anything. I'm almost maybe articles are the only thing I read frequently, but I never read books. I always use Audible.
Yeah, I do Audible too.
I found during
this hated that rule when you guys said that Audible is okay.
Because a lot of the times at work, I just put on my headphones.
Yeah,
and then just I not.
That's where
a book
I think it could be an unfair advantage to some people. That's why I'm like.
I don't see why you care. You're getting the same content. Your brain's getting the same story.
It's different. It is different.
It is. Reading is different.
Decoding it with your eyes instead of with your ears is really different.
But that's, again, like what Brian is saying, like, you know, that you get tired because your brain's working differently. So it's like,
you can consume more through your ears and through your eyes.
Yeah, and it's still good. It's not like listening to books is a bad thing.
I think there's just a difference of – I mean, I like audio – like Audibles and all that stuff, but I still – I'm a proponent that reading is different than listening. Like, you have to put your own voice to...
Well, you're decoding it. You're doing it. You are running it. You're reading a programming language, you know?
And again, like, how many times, I've listened to a book and been like, I fucking got 10% of that, you know, 8 hours of listening. But how many people have read a book and been like, I can't tell you anything about this book I read.
Oh, Don.
Like, now I can finally cut and edit it that as I sound like.
But it sucked because like that first book I read, I was just like, it's just like, it was hard to, because I don't read. I'm not a reader. I read the headlines of news
stories.
Maybe
you're not a reader.
I read the headlines. I'm illiterate as fuck or I'm stupid. I don't read. And like I would start to read it and then my mind would just kind of like wander away and then like I get through like a page and I'm like, all right, I forgot where I left off at.
Put that on your fucking resume.
I'm stupid. I can't read.
I fall asleep at the end of a sentence.
You can't read spelled R-E-E-D.
What I found reading – well, I mean I've been reading, but what I found is that I personally – I fall asleep way quicker if it's nonfiction. If I'm just reading, you know, instructional
dry things.
But like if it's fiction, I prefer fiction.
Yeah,
like,
it's immersive, you know?
Like when people say that a movie's better than the book, or the book's better than the movie.
The book with better.
I think sometimes that the book fiction wise is better, but I would much rather watch any nonfiction I've ever read as a documentary any day of the week. I'm finding.
Yeah, that's why I'm tired of seeing these. fucking Dracula movies. I want to see the real thing. I want to go to Transylvania, see some old Northern European
guy. There was
guy.
One thing that I had a problem with. I know. I think everybody else had this problem too. We're like
pissing
would be out, or like you would be out, and somebody like they'd be like, "Hey, you can have a beer," and no one's gonna say anything.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No one's gonna do anything.
I never got that temptation. As
people were hunting you.
Mine was when me and you went to we went to Royal Oak with to the piano bar.
Oh yeah,
with you guys.
Oh, that's right. Stupid. Right. Was, yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because well, and we went there and I'm like
testing our fortitude.
Yeah, so, and all I wanted to do is I'm like, all right, well, I'm excited because I'm just gonna go there and have a cup of coffee. At least I get some sort of stimulant.
Oh yeah, yes,
the bartender's like, what? What's coffee? This is a bar. We don't have that. He's like, don't ask for tea.
Like, uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm like,
it was like
I look
Australia.
At my, okay, well, my options are
water.
Water. I'm like,
yeah,
and that's it. So I'm like, damn, I have nothing to indulge in here because I was still trying to making sure I don't eat too many cheat meals.
Oh, well, there's ice cubes in there, man. You were letting your hair down a little bit. Come on.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have gone to. Yeah. I mean, I know what a piano bar has in, you know,
I was
in store for you.
Yeah, but it's an alcohol place. I figured it had coffee, too, though.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I
could live
I guess
with
that's
if
true.
If I had a cup of coffee, I could have lived
with that's true. It's better than a regular bar. Sorry, but
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, there was stuff going on.
Going to a regular bar, it's, like, yeah, my buddies from work were like, we were supposed to do, I think, like a UFC night or something at his house. And then that, it was one of those days, it was a fucking storm. And everyone's like, I'm not going. And I wasn't going just because I picked up an overtime day, and that day really fucked me. And it was after that Iranian Nazi. It was like
the
day I got off of that stint of shifts was they were like, hey, we're meeting up at so-and-so's, you know, for the fight. And I was going to go, and then as soon as one person was like, oh, dude, it's fucking too snowy, I was like, yeah, I'm not coming either. I got no sleep, yada, yada. Well, it broke down. They weren't going to go to the fight or watch the fight at his house, so they're like texting me, hey, we're going to go grab a beer. Do you want to come? Knowing that I'm on this, and I was like, I could handle watching a UFC sober. No problem. Me going to the bar with friends from work so they can drink beer and I can stand in a bar when it's a blizzard outside, like just risking your life. Now, if you're going there for the beer, risking your life driving, it makes sense. You know? When you're going there to stand sober and fucking hate it.
I'll have a water, please.
It's like it's like our old DD days.
Yeah. That is
before the days before Uber, but, and like you have to be like the one friend stone cold sober.
I'd rather die in a shallow grave than be a DD ever again.
But even as a DD, you can have a beer.
As you
can break the seal. This is like
forbidden
fruit.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. This wasn't about getting drunk.
No, yeah, it's just don't get drunk. It's like you can drink.
Did you pick up more shifts at work?
I didn't.
During the month?
Well,
just so
I didn't.
Just had something to do.
No, I didn't. They weren't terribly available, but I didn't.
It's so funny to think, like, well, I can continue drinking or forward
work.
My career.
Yeah.
It's like, I really have to do that now.
But yeah, like, I went, like, up north and visited my parents, and they're like, hey, what's up?
Stupid.
We're going to this, like, local bar down the street. It was like me, my mom, my brother, his wife, we're all at some bar, and they're like, I'll have a Jack and Coke, this and this, and blah, blah. I'm like, I'll have a club soda with lime, please. And everybody's just like staring at me. I'm like, I'm part of the thing.
Yeah. Being sober up north is an oxymoron. Yeah, it just doesn't fucking
And like,
exist.
It was during that, like, they got slammed with snow, too. So it's just like, you have no choice but to drink. And that's it.
For every inch of snow, there's like another glass of whiskey down.
Yeah, I think they drink in 12-step programs up there.
Yeah. They used to drink a lot less, I guess.
They dialed it back.
My wife's dad was trying to get a job up there, and
he wasn't drunk enough. Poor thing.
No. Okay, so that's the thing, is that like a lot of companies have a hard time finding people up there that don't have DUIs.
Yeah, because they're all
because
degenerates.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
I love you all
do,
up there if you're listening and all, but
talking to a certain
talking to you alcoholics in the next day.
They're fucking
get your shit together.
Yeah.
Did you ever run – I thought this was funny because I talked to like two people about this and I described the sober January and all that, and they're obviously not drinkers or do anything.
So that's just their life?
Super just like, yeah. So,
right.
You know, like that's my life.
I'm sure
like,
you could find something that they latch onto just to be like,
exactly.
Okay, so
everybody
you don't drink
advice,
or you don't
sure.
smoke. Yeah. But you fucking eat cheeseburgers, you know, every day.
Yeah.
Try going a month without cheeseburgers.
People that don't drink or smoke are fucking creeps.
There's
something they're doing.
Well, there's something that
they have. Why do you need to be so aware of your surroundings?
Yeah,
like, what are you plotting?
No, this is my strongest argument. If you have so little trust in yourself on how you act that you can't relinquish a little control, then you really don't have so much control at all. It's one argument I always say.
Damn, Confucius say.
Like that? Yeah. You know, if you can't trust yourself taking your hand off the wheel once in a while, then you really
don't
have
do that.
You don't know yourself very well, you know.
As long as your tires are balanced, you can take your hand off the wheel as much as you want.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't aligned properly. You know,
you have a Tesla, right?
Or, just keep the car ones going.
No, but and you know, like a lot of people that even don't drink or do anything, and you say that, they're actually more positive about it than anything. And that's like almost what scared me, just being a little more egotistical, is I didn't want to become one of these people where I felt better than people, you know, and I'm like, God, I fucking hate that.
It's easy to
get
on a high horse.
And that's like, that's true. I guess my only
I remember when I used to drink.
Well, no, it's easier to get on your high horse when you are sober, you're operating clean as fuck, and people around you are stumbly a little bit, where you're like, yeah, like I'm better than you at this moment right now in that sense clear, where you're just like, I'm clear. Like if it was a jumping jack contest, I'm beating your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was walking down that line, I'm kicking your ass at that. And you get that little bit. Now these motherfuckers that have been doing that for 20 years, that just builds.
I know jumping jacks in the Olympics.
Yeah, it's just jumping jacks and walking lines fucking everywhere. No,
like, I know this happened to me, but like I would like when you guys would be like a bull would say, "Hey, I went out for a jog 5 minutes ago." I'm like, motherfucker, I have to go out and get some points here. So I just go out and ride my bike around.
Oh, dude! I'll be honest.
If I were to hear somebody ready to get points, I would be like, "Fuck! I have to get some points." Well, I'm sitting around here doing nothing. I have to do something.
What I should say at this point in the podcast is that we never even said at the beginning, "Shame on you," but that won.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Trainer won.
Well, all right. Let's take
a few
minutes to talk
Cheers,
about.
Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'll bow down. Whatever.
You'll bow down to us.
No, I
don't understand how the kingdom works.
Oh, the whole thing we obviously are talking about. We're all over the place with this, but that's okay. And we did the Sober January thing because of the Joe Rogan thing, kind of. And we tried to. This is our first time doing it, so we're trying to figure out this rule set.
Figure out what works.
Your mechanics, how you want it to work.
Like fitness stuff, and I guess really in a nutshell, what we had like. A loosely based point system on just basically healthy things you can do in your day and, obviously just getting them towards the end of this month and whoever had the highest win. So, Bo, you kind of had the, like, reins on that since you did the, PowerPoint and all that.
Yeah.
Well, Brian did.
Brian did the PowerPoint.
That's like PowerPoint since high school. Yeah. I was proud of that fucking thing.
But you did the spreadsheet, so.
Yeah, Bo made the spreadsheet. I don't know how to fuck with that.
Fuck.
Yeah, so we just kind of like just grouped it real quick and like higher and like lower intensity stuff is like a MMA class or a spin class or something being like, we're calling it 50 points. And
sports,
just lifting weights.
Almost all sports were 50 points.
Yeah, all sports, racquetball, things like that. And then things just like lifting or going for a jog or a leisurely bike ride. We had to do 30, but it was just kind of difficult that sometimes if someone's like, oh, I went for like a 15-minute jog and 15 minutes of swimming and this all this stuff, I'm like, well, I can't give you 120 points for what compounded be like an hour of working out. So I kind of loosely tired. You know, someone said they did 30 minutes of this and 30 minutes of this, like, okay, you got the full 30 points.
Yeah, you rounded.
Or something like that. But it was pretty
reasonably accurate.
Yeah. We're trying this out. Again, this is the first time we actually got this whole thing to go. And, you know, it worked out, I think, great. You know, we obviously are going to try to do, differently.
Fine tune it.
Yeah. So.
Are you smelling the mic?
Now I am.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. But
I got stains on this side. It's pretty nasty, so.
But
did you say steak?
No, I said mistake.
Nigga, I'm excited.
So that was kind of like our, I guess, addiction for the month was trying to work out and stuff. Because that was like our only outlet, more or less, So
I'll be honest. Another added factor, which you guys will eventually, maybe not, at a point come across in your lives. I think that we're going to keep doing this for years to come.
I plan on joining you next year.
Now you're out.
Kids throw a huge wrench when you can and cannot work out, especially at kids at the age.
I thought you were going to talk about giving them drugs. No.
Kids being sober for a month, it's really hard on them.
They're not supposed to be sober that long.
No, well, yeah, I guess for the parenting side too, kids, it's back
and
forth.
You need to take the edge off.
I found that on the pro side of the my Venn diagram for marijuana parenting woes was definitely on the positive side. however, you know, remembering where she was at all times and being able to pick her up confidently was on the
father, ladies and gentlemen.
I should give you the trophy back. So best dad of the year.
Yeah,
Mr.
right.
But yeah, no, that's you are the only parent, obviously, in this whole thing that we did. Yeah, that was competing. Yeah. And that, you know, we all have our different lifestyles and stuff like that.
For
but
sure.
That is something.
I have more days off than you guys do.
Yeah.
So I can get more days in to work out.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to, on certain days, I was able to stop after work and do those 2-hour days that, like,
yeah.
I was getting all my time. I realized once, like, I would go for, like, a 2-hour thing at the gym and then pick up, you know, my little one and go home. And then realize I was probably never going to walk again. Like, yeah. I wasn't going to move and get any more points, and it's 10:30 in the morning. Like,
yeah.
So I had to get that shit done in the morning.
Yeah.
And if I did find that kickboxing thing, like, if all of us,
yeah,
that was some money. I'm looking forward to doing that next year for this. You'll get fucking shredded, son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of classes that you guys were taking that I was like, I want to take those classes.
Yeah.
Like, there's one that I found, like, the yoga class. I started doing that like a few weeks before this whole January thing. Does it kind of like ease my way in?
And yeah.
It's fun. I mean, I'm still doing it now. So.
I've continued mine. I've done at least two or three classes.
I do Mondays and Wednesdays.
Was yoga a common mechanic in this? Like, did you guys have to do
yoga
that?
Yoga gets big points.
It's just points. Yeah. You know?
It was encouraged.
It was another one I think was probably weighted a little bit low, like a full 30-minute. If you do a full hour-long class.
Yeah.
Is a lot different than doing 20 minutes on a YouTube video.
Yeah, for sure.
They both can't be weighted.
Because I was trying to do that.
But I never gave myself more than 34.
It did nothing.
Yeah.
So it's different going to a class because, like, you kind of feel like a dick.
There's no room for failure at a class.
Yeah.
They correct it for one, but you stay with it.
Yeah.
For two, for
and
longer.
Plus, like, forced participation. Yeah.
I felt like if I was there, like, I gotta make the effort to do every single thing they're trying to do. Even if I know I can't do it, let's try and do it.
That's how I feel with this boxing thing. I know that if I were to just do it and hang my bag in the garage, I'm going to take a breath a lot longer and sit it out a lot longer than when you're there and this instructor's walking by like doing the thing of get back in it, you know, like touch it lighter.
I started yoga like late December
and
it's like mid-February and like there's stuff like I can – there's stuff I couldn't do before that I can actually do now. So I'm actually seeing improvement.
That's awesome.
Which is pretty cool.
So that's good target outcome.
I can do happy baby. I can do happy baby.
Is it like butt stuff or hand stuff that you can do a lot better now?
You kind of like grab your toes and you rock back.
Oh, I know. I know that one.
Happy baby.
Happy baby.
Yeah, my hamstrings are tight as fuck. I can't do shit.
There's one thing I can't do, and I can't stand and like bend over and touch. I couldn't do that since like the fourth grade.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's something I'd like to do.
And everybody else is just like, oh yeah, no problem. I'm like, I can do that.
I can do that.
It just guarantees a fart is all it does.
I've never caught wind.
I've never had.
Yeah, but
like,
you've been fighting hardcore before.
I canceled last Thursday's session
because you couldn't do it.
Flatulence.
I never really, this is just kind of a yoga thing, but it's like, I know you're relaxing, you're doing all that. I fucking fart just more or less if I sit for too long. And like if I'm moving or doing something like yoga, I'm like, or even exercise, I'm like, never really had that. But I've never really had that problem.
It just rockets right out. No. Everything just gets.
There's definitely been like a time or two or at the gym that it's happened before. Never in yoga though.
Really?
I've heard one person do it in yoga.
Yeah, keep the thing tight as an oil drum during yoga.
Oh, yeah.
So what I guess this is a good point to bring up is like what were some takeaways since we obviously took away one of our favorite things, obviously being fucked up in some way. And what did we pull away from like, I guess, good habits that we're obviously still doing?
Or fitness. Just
fitness stuff. Yeah.
Fitness
for me.
Yeah.
Their frivolous effort is what I took away. And it is far more productive to be slightly numb.
Yeah.
What's fun. Yeah. So
that is
going into this, I have as many house projects, I'm sure, as anybody has, but I feel like I might have like another bucket more.
And
going into this, I thought I was going to Al Borland the fuck out of my house in January, that it was going to be squared away, put together, and done. And
not even close.
I don't think I got almost anything done of that. Now, granted, January doesn't help because half my shit's outside.
Yeah.
Like half my shit was working in the garage that I wanted to get done.
Well, I think you guys did replace getting effed up with exercise, and it took just as much time.
Right.
It's just productive more for health instead of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So we just traded – you guys traded health for entertainment that month.
But it was kind of nice to know that I'm in general, I guess, not entirely, but just a semi-lazy shit that by being sober didn't change my productivity almost at all. So it shows that it's not that – you know, that it's not the weed's fault that I haven't like rebuilt a garage or raised a barn or anything like that. But – it's kind of disappointing because I thought that maybe I would
by being sober. Like, build a barn in
I'll be sober in January, and then we'll have a barn by February.
I thought the same thing with productivity. I was just like, oh, I'm going to get crushing the list of stuff. And I got a lot done. But, yeah, it's just like you said, I would have got the same amount done if we didn't even bring this up.
Yeah.
But it's more or less, I guess, my attitude was a lot better. And, you know, that was always good. You know, the wife liked that I wasn't, like, doing the same shit and being like, oh, because you know, it's, like, hungover the night before and just pissed off. I have to do whatever. Or even stuff I wanted to do, just, like, forcing yourself through it. When I felt more clear, it just was like, yeah, you know, this is good. And it's not like I, you know, raised buildings and stuff like that, but you know, you just come out better of it. That's what I felt.
Waking up to go to work on Monday wasn't really as bad. Yeah, you just have energy. It says you were legitimately well rested the entire weekend.
Yeah, that's true. The quality.
You Monday through Friday guys definitely had a whole different life of this. I'd say than myself. Not in a bad way, just in a different way, because you guys are way more structured in your sense of when you get fucked up and when you don't. And what they, you know, like that every Friday is going to almost be the same routine. Saturday is a very similar routine.
Your Tuesday
Sunday
is like your Friday.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
you,
they all
shoot
rotate
from the hip
so.
When you get, when you cut loose.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's, and structure. That's like when you're going with more like how society is, since that's more or less how everyone kind of flows, and you're kind of like, you're making your own thing. That
which
would be
causes me
weird
to drink less. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying this in a bad way, but I think I definitely drink a lot less than you guys.
Yeah.
Just because
I probably drink as much as you.
I drink a lot
less
than everybody.
I don't
here
drink a lot on my on my days off even.
I don't
on my four
I don't,
days.
I rarely do.
I'm not even saying now. Yeah. I'm just saying for the past
this isn't a competition,
4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Dirty
for the 4 years, yeah.
No,
I mean,
I'm not talking right now. I'm just talking in general.
I'll just say that.
My drinking
is non drinking January. We're gonna be challenging each other how much we don't drink.
Yeah, right.
Because I will beat all you nerds.
But my shit was weed, you know, every time.
Yeah.
So, like, non-drinking wasn't the hardest thing, especially when you're trying – like, I've been – it's just a forever battle of trying to, you know, cut some weight or whatever. Mm. So I can always – I always know in my mind the benefit of not drinking.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's really easy for me to be like, oh, well, you'll cut weight. You'll shred a little bit.
Yeah.
Fuck it, you know. But then as soon as it's like, Alex is going to spill everywhere, I just want to smoke a joint right now at, you know. And then
the
that –
the second thing you spilled on that same exact lab.
No, that's a good point.
The month is over.
But it wasn't. I can't say I was, you know, completely impervious to that. Like there was definitely times, not too many, but a couple where I was like, you know, a specific beer or something like you could just taste it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh god damn it, that would be awesome.
Yeah. They have,
I do think,
but you can't have it.
That all of us were just one bad week away from just saying fuck it.
Oh yeah, you're just one bad time away
at the very end. Yeah,
you were car accident on the freeway. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I got into a car accident the very last week.
Mitchell, I threw the towel pretty quick, so.
Yeah, or you were a finger loss away.
You couldn't handle looking at
temples and keeping all your limbs. We definitely know the threshold is partial amputation will definitely put you to the bottle.
Off topic, were you going for camouflage in this room when you got dressed today?
I don't even see it. No, it's like pretty good.
I have a Ninja Turtles hoodie on. And it's
that'd be awesome if we all had that
room.
If we all had that same hoodie, and we all
wouldn't have seen shit.
We'd just lay against the wall.
But what was I gonna say about this? It's exactly.
Well, see, I think what's interesting is just the common denominator about being more productive isn't exercise. I mean, exercise and entertainment in the form of drinking is the same distraction from being productive.
Well, kind of. I would agree with most of that, but it's not a full equation because there's the factor of weather.
Yeah.
Now, if this was like May or something like that, where you could do a lot of shit because the weather is going to be more favorable, it'd be possible. Now, however, being sober in May just sounds fucking awful.
Yeah, no,
it's not going to happen.
So I don't want to do it. I don't
warm weather.
But a small part of me does want to see if I would be insanely productive.
I think it just shows.
I was kind of thinking to myself of doing, hey, if we got like 1 week off, so we'll just do it It'll only be over one weekend.
Right. That would, yeah, yeah. Of being productive.
Of and, just, and just doing a complete sober
weekend.
Just week.
Yeah, just reset, entire reset week. A week.
You are, actually, I have a good question about this because since we, you know, basically stole this idea from Joe Rogan.
Do you think he would sponsor this
yes,
or something?
This is brought quit. To you by the Fleshlight. no, but...
with the cash.
Yeah, the cash. anyways, but the... I think the thing to think about is since those comedians, you know, live an extremely different lifestyle than us with basically financial and they basically have all the time, to, you know, freedom that we don't have. How would you guys think you would hold up doing the same thing we just did? We basically have no jobs. We have, you know, obviously not really bills to worry about. Like everything's kind of paid for more or less. But if we had all that free time and we just obviously could do our normal stuff, how well do you think you would do in this sense?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like where you don't have a job.
I would want to say I'd be different.
Yeah. I think I might break.
Yeah. I think it'd be harder.
If I had that much free time and like I'm just like, you know, if I just came in and did like podcasting once in a while, you know what I mean? Like lived kind of their lifestyle. That's like kind of
I think it'd be harder.
I think it'd be
much harder.
Different.
It'd be harder. I mean, their lifestyle too is surrounded with beer at like going to the comedy store.
I mean, they're going to
like
bars every night.
There's just no authority in most of their circles, so they can do what they want. They don't have someone who's going to say, hey, you don't have this job anymore for cracking a beer while you're working on a spreadsheet.
No, they probably wouldn't get the job for not cracking the beer while working on whatever the fuck they're working on at like. In comedy sense.
Well, and having you know what I mean? And having a job, like putting in those hours was an easy kind of go-to for us to just be like,
it's
yeah,
a distraction,
you know,
yeah.
You know, like I don't mind if this is going to be a long shift or whatever it is, you know. So I don't know. How would you guys think? You guys think it would be harder, obviously?
I think you would have to be very distracted. Like, yeah. If I had that kind of money where you didn't have to work kind of thing. And that would be like a...
You could do something cool, like a little silent retreats. What better time to try doing something different?
Yeah, go to Thailand and learn Muay Thai from some Thai dude in some
remote
fucking...
Or go to Bangkok and not
fucking,
lose your finger.
Yeah.
Keep your finger
Bangkok,
like Bohan did.
Yeah. Go to Bangkok, get on a boat and do it right.
Wear gauntlets.
Snap. No, yeah, I think that was my takeaway with a lot of this, too, is, you know, I filled my time. And, you know, that's like what a lot of people say in like AA and stuff like that. It's just... When you want to have that drink or that whatever, you just got to replace it with something. Mm-hmm. And that's like kind of what I felt like I did is just like I either worked out at home or I went to a class. And I guess I would just have to do a lot of shit if I had all the time in the world.
Now, how many people here are still kind of like keeping up with what they were doing? Because I know I'm still going to the gym just about every day. I'm still doing my yoga Mondays and Wednesdays. I still go every morning on Saturday, and I take my Sundays off and get back here again on Monday.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yep, same, just, you know, obviously going out and, you know, to the bar and stuff and not worrying about the drinking aspect of it. But
wait, so you guys are doing the same exercise routine you're doing while drinking?
I would say maybe at 90%.
While not drinking, I'm sorry. Or while drinking,
I mean,
now.
Myself. I would say I'm
still
at 90%.
I'm still keeping up with, like, my routine of what I had.
At what proportion
when I was
going of it,
to the
though?
Gym. It's just about the same.
But so it's like, in your productivity.
I've just added.
Well, no. He became productive. Like, he became productive. We keep saying it like fucking Englishmen.
Yeah.
He became productive in January and it spilled over. Yeah. His December routine was piss poor compared to January.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But, I mean, that's nice, though, that the sobriety wasn't like the hinging factor on being able to be healthy. I mean, if you want to be healthy, you just started exercising more and that's 90% of the battle.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like, it's. I mean, what this
it cleared
month
his
was
mind
was
to
just
set
like
a good
camp.
Habit in motion. Basically. Yeah,
it's start you from basics, rebuild the blocks, and then the rest of life can fall on you from there.
I heard this really helpful tool from this book I read called like Atomic Habits by this guy named James Clear. He's a really sharp, interesting
books.
Dude. What's that?
I'm smart. I read books.
I listen to it. Don't worry, I'm illiterate.
Is it easier or harder to turn the pages now?
One.
I'm serious. Wow. Two.
I'm serious. Oh, I didn't even put
the
that
middle
together.
Finger glove is off now. But he had this really cool way to like help kickstart any habit, and I thought this is a really helpful tool to use. And it's like any habit, as long as you don't break it 2 days in a row. It's okay because you're basically starting some form of behavior.
I have done that though, and I've still just kind of like it. But just the
it gives you a good tolerance.
It's the fact
though,
that like
to start a good habit.
That, like if I miss the gym 2 days in a row, on that third day, I'm like, all right, I know if I don't go today, it's just all going downhill.
It's a slippery slope.
So it's so I kind of just force myself to go back and kind of force yourself to get back in that routine. And then once you do it,
yeah, because even every other day is pretty freaking good. I mean, ideally, you can go every day.
There was a point, I think it was like the second or third week, where I was going, I went Monday, I got off work at 4, and I was there to like fucking like 7, just running weights and all that stuff. I did that Monday, Tuesday, and then I got up on Wednesday. I was like, I can't move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My back hurts. My legs hurt. My arms hurt. I feel sick. I cannot move.
Yeah.
And then I had to take Wednesday off because like I was like, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
It's so running your body down in a different way.
I went hard those 2 days and way too hard. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried supplements from Onnit?
Alpha Brain is really good.
Okay, I actually, it's like a few years ago, I actually bought the Alpha Brain stuff.
Yeah, I tried
and
it.
I like to think it works, but it might just be me just be like, I'm smart now.
Yeah.
You know, I can, you know, 2 + 2 = 5. I
it
get
doesn't
it, yeah.
make you smart. It connects the neural pathways in the brain so you can reach the alpha state. And
so does mushrooms.
Yeah, exactly. I would way rather be on the cordyceps mushroom, Shroom Tech Sport by
Wait, did you guys say access, dear? Sorry.
Sorry. Oh, wait, we got
Much
another
love.
Caller. It is
JRD.
Yeah. Anyways.
You idiot.
Oh, God. We got totally off track with that. So how would we make this different and kind of better for next time?
Kaizen opportunities.
The point system we probably have to work on. It was this time was a good, like, to see how we should modify it.
Mm-hmm.
A more reliable heart rate monitor.
Maybe just
operating more on points based on heart rate.
Do you think motivation was a weakness? Was it a difficulty?
It's just like we said, like the technicalities of the points could sometimes get falsely high or falsely low.
Also, align hardware. So everyone's got a controlled type of hardware.
If everyone has a controlled hardware, I mean, if you know, Train is obviously in the best shape out of all of us.
Mm. Thank you.
But so that means that he's going to have to work super hard. Like it doesn't not benefit one of us to go by heart rate. If Train's in better shape, he's going to have to push himself harder at whatever he's working out to stay
to get
in the
up to
80 to 90% range that he's going to be in. That will give you more points.
Yeah, but
yada,
me,
yada.
Like I lift up this cup and I'm already sweating.
We're lower.
What is people who like sweat when you eat?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. But like that means that you're not in the greatest of health, just to be honest. And I'm not saying you, but I'm saying a person that's like that. And so for them, they're going to get to that target heart rate what's hard for them to do physically. Mm-hmm. That's all that you should be judging shit on. It's not of like Ryan can do 30 pull-ups, so the rest of us have to. It's we all have to do the amount of pull-ups that it makes us feel like Ryan when he's at 30.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you get equal points because both of your hearts are going to be around the same range of pumping.
Is that easy to compare and measure though by person as like a proper ratio?
Yeah, there's
improvement?
Like there's formulas and stuff like that of putting in your full size. I mean, you might have to, you know, get your full size kind of down of your height, your weight, your BMI or whatever it is, and then finding that those target heart rates for the 80% and then 90% of really burning fucking fat kind of
Did you fart?
No, someone
because then it helps. Like you know, it would be more on. I mean, I never really had a big fire in that month of January. But like, let's say if it happened on other months where I've had more than one of a decent sized fire, like the amount you work in a fire is, we were going to have to rely on me being honest, or who's not here, but the Dupa being honest.
Mm.
You know. And he doesn't – if he's on his regular job, he's not doing as much on scenes in the sense of physical work because he's the guy controlling the pump panel.
Yeah, yeah.
But like to go inside on a line, it's a workout you just can't compare. It's very similar. The closest thing I've ever done to feel that is like an MMA kind of thing where you're spent.
So that was an issue, was recording the metrics properly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting a good unit of measurement that just goes across the board. You know,
and that's even like, you know, the Rogan stuff, they had problems with it and they were getting the top of the line shit. And they were just basically some of the people were obviously like hacking it, you know, so it was more or less the amount of time you put in, not even like the harder the exercise was, you could get better points. So if
was
they're
that
having problems,
endurance over exertion, is that higher calorie?
With the heart rate thing they were using, that like the points.
It may be.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I kind of like the way we're doing it now. It just needs to be kind of like we had to kind
just
kind
of cut and dry.
So you think
more,
it'd be more simple if we just aligned devices? You think that would be the easiest?
I think so,
step to get the most output.
Because in an hour of a workout at a gym, you could go pump for 10 minutes. You could go run for 10 minutes. You could go play basketball for another 10. You could go do a stretch. You could go do this, and then in an hour, you're just going to have one measurement. That's really hard to break down when you have swimming's 30 points, running's 30 points, lifting's 30 points, but you didn't do a half hour or 45 minutes of each. There's no way you can count that, like Bo said earlier.
Is it
realistic
to measure, though? Because, I mean, keep in mind, people are going to be lazy about measuring.
Well, I think, like, the problem we had was, like, just to specify time.
It's hard to measure. Everyone does a different thing.
Hey, you go for a walk. It's 30 points, but we didn't really know how long you had to go for.
Did you go for a walk around the block or did you walk?
Right, you walk around the block. Was your machine set at 10 for an incline?
Well, maybe for that month, because it is like kind of a competition, maybe even though you'd prefer to play basketball at the rec center, maybe you should, in interest of competing in the same rules of the competition, you should be aiming for more endurance-based things. Like, go to the rec center instead of playing basketball, go jog for an hour.
But that's endurance.
I know intensity.
I see what you're saying, but I just don't agree with it because everyone has their you got to follow your passion.
The game, too. For a game.
Yeah, but you can adjust the game. You're trying to find something to be passionate about.
Yeah.
So for some people, that's fighting. For some people, it's racquetball. You know what I mean? Like
pickleball.
I hear you.
Well, like, I kind of like the way
we did pickleball.
The way we did it before was good because, like, it got you to try stuff that you never tried before. I've never tried yoga.
Yeah.
I haven't done volleyball in years. So, like, it gets you, like, having set points for, like, everything, it forces you to try different stuff that you haven't done before.
Mm.
Having it just go by your heart, right? You can easily just do one thing and just do that the whole entire month and try and getting your points.
Yeah.
So it's this way it kind of forces you to try and go outside of your boundaries and try different stuff. And that's what I like about it.
Well, maybe you should base the whole thing more off like actual like physical metrics and like the percentage of weight lost, or maybe measure like resting heart rate at the end of it and see who has the lowest resting heart rate or improvement, because that's a true measure of improvement of health. You know, maybe assign points to that so you don't have to worry about the interim. You can just measure everyone's progress so you know how competitive, how much you have to push or how much like slack you have because you're ahead, and then measure at the end, all right, how much did everyone's resting heart rate improve? How much did your percentage ratio body fat improve? This would probably be the most accurate analysis at the end.
Yeah, but Ryan's got no fat to lose.
Yeah,
but that's why he has to measure based on what his percentage was and his percentage improvement. So it is a relative improvement. And everybody
he's not trying to lose any weight, though.
I'd die.
Well, that's the thing.
He can't cut any more fat. He could losing 10% of any
Ryan
of our
might
weights
show up
is
heavier,
still substantially
and that would be beneficial,
than
you know. 10.
That'd be harder.
All right, here. Let's change it even more. If you really want to measure, so Ryan doesn't need to improve so much. It's difficult for him to maintain.
Always need to improve.
So the scope of the scope of this next year should be to try and take a egalitarian approach and create the most benefit for the most people. So the motivations maybe would be best scaled for whoever creates the most improvement on their body. So let's say someone who is like fatter, like I am. It would be easier for me, but much more beneficial to lose a lot of weight. I mean, you're plenty fat. Don't worry. We have plenty of flubber to go around.
Damn. But you're trying to get a compliment there.
But it's like the way it would be nice about it is like that way you're actually putting a measurement for goal, like a benefit for the highest actual improvement. Because, I mean, if someone's just maintaining.
You're talking like personal goals, right? You have like your own personal thing that you do.
Well, the idea would be whoever can create the most better, whoever can improve their body towards what we all agree is a healthier norm, the most significantly.
Yeah, but like trainers.
So you're talking like a swimsuit show?
How much?
A February swimsuit show?
Yeah, and what we could do is we could do an effort thing as well. We could do an effort thing as well. So like somebody who puts in the most effort shouldn't be outshined. So maybe there should be like three facets of the competition. Like Ryan maybe puts out the most effort, but his body improves the least because he's kept it tuned. For the people that actually had the most improvement, who have more room, which I would gather is almost everybody but Ryan, who a big portion of his life is, you know, being physical with his body.
I have no life.
And like Brian, you know, you're somewhere in between where you have to be physical for your job, but I mean, we don't have to do anything. We sit at computers or drive around. I mean, we don't do shit. So maybe that'd be kind of nice to do three. So somebody can win the most effort and most improvement, but ideally somebody would only win One or the other.
I want to be in the bottom tier.
Yeah, and at least one person. Well,
I thought it was an all right shape.
I think we should probably say what the rankings were.
It's not to say Ryan couldn't improve
obviously,
more.
Train over.
What if Ryan's weight went up higher in his resting? What if he could lift more weight per pound?
That could be a portion
of this, a strength measurement.
Can Ryan do steroids?
Ryan has plenty of strength he could increase if he chose to, but you know he's an optimized frame where he's at.
So. Well, and the only thing I thought about it that I want to do different next time is I did kind of have a go-to more high-intensity exercise than most of you guys did since I just been doing like martial arts like my whole life. So I was like, with this point system, I'm going to go to my class and it's obviously in the bracket of higher intensity. Mm. But I wanted to try to do more things out of the box for next time.
Right.
Like I wanted to do rock climbing or something like that for that month, but you know, it kind of fell through. I didn't do that. But I think that'll be at least in my – for me, I want to try to not have that crutch since, yeah, I can go do MMA and do all those things every single day if I really wanted to.
Like, I think we should do more group things.
Yeah.
I think we just did, the volleyball and I think just flipped.
Yeah, and I missed out on that.
Yeah.
So.
We should try some hand stuff next year.
Like hand stuff?
Easy.
Well, me and Dupa went snowboarding, too.
Yeah.
You guys want that?
That actually was – I got scared on that day because, I did a couple good ones. Now, you're like, Ryan's in the lead, and then you guys, went out for, all Sunday or something like that. I was like, fuck. I'm like, well, I was going to come back and just have some major amount of points or something like that. But I'm glad that didn't happen.
What do you think of that idea, though, as far as widening the scope of it?
You could have maybe, some fitness challenge deals or something.
Between here and now, there's going to be – we're all going to have these epiphanies of ideas of which way to – so I don't think we can hammer down anything.
Well, the nice thing about setting up motivational things with you guys is you were so much more pragmatic than most of our fantasy football team where you can't change old ways. And I think of this as a similar competition because it's a similar size scope and almost the same people, maybe a 60% overlap. Mm-hmm. So the thing that's best is when you keep – a motivation to people who are even in last place. So they know they still have a path to redemption to make a little extra money or win a little bit of their prize back.
Yeah.
So what I like doing is when you have a progressive pot and you put money in as a motivator, because it works a lot for me, but for other people, maybe not so much. But you could schedule the motivation. Let's say it's 10 people and it's $1,000. Mm-hmm. And then the payout goes to 10 people, but it's progressive. The one who won the most in this category, gets 70%. And then you scale it down. So you still have some money you'll be getting back. And then you can also reward people if they had one open week and they won out that week. They would get $25 back, the highest points for a week. You know, kind of partition the prizes so you can target a week
Alex
to go all
money.
The fuck out. You know,
that's
a strong motivator.
I have to say, I think that probably will be a game changer for next year if we get some type of, actual money bet in. No, obviously it doesn't have to be crazy amount, but I think that might boost the
makes it more exciting.
Whatever we're trying to do and we figure out and agree on, if there's a little bit and more incentive at the end, but
and
if
always
we,
keep
if,
it as
if
an
money
opt-in
was
thing.
Wagered, we what we have to nail down before that is a great measurement system.
Yeah.
Because once you wager money, the possible it
I'm
changes.
Going to cheat my weight. No, it's kidding.
Yeah. Well, it's just
it gets
no,
serious.
Yeah.
The competition gets serious.
That might be our last one, and we're all not friends anymore. Yeah. And then we'll have to do a podcast about how we
if
all
we
broke
can survive fairy tale football with all the shenanigans that goes in that shit. We can survive exercising.
Yeah, but that's out of your hands.
Yeah, that's why it's more fun when it's in your hands because
you
have control
cheat in fantasy football. You can, in vague situations, you could cheat every single day of this.
If I really cared in fantasy football, I could pay somebody $200. But don't say anything and trade me.
That's what I'm
Todd
saying.
Gurley
that's very vague.
Yeah.
Compared to this, I could just text you every day and say, hey, I just played one-on-one with Mike Jordan.
Yeah.
That's 100 points.
8 hours a day.
And Dale
day.
Earnhardt
well, the idea
Jr.
would be,
is racing me, and he's going to chase me with a car.
Yeah. Well, the idea would be, Brian, the idea would be
– you know what I'm saying,
though. You'd have to make strict rules like a game for anyone that wants to adhere to the money game of it. So that would be like – you know how we were talking before, and I gave the option of you can choose to play the game and do the endurance shit over just playing basketball, which is more fun.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to play the game, if you're in the money part, it's like, all right, I'm going to do this, which is still good for me. It might not be as interesting to me right now as basketball, but I know it's just about as good for me health-wise according to the length of time I'm doing it and how long my cardio will get benefit. So you make it like a cardio money challenge kind of thing, with I don't know, a yoga element to it.
Oops.
Yeah, we got obviously just an entire year to kind of work out these kinks and right. figure it out. But so you guys did enjoy it, had a good time with it.
And, yeah, it's good.
It's good. Yeah, it's a learning experience. Did it. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll have to do this again. We'll kind of wrap it up here with the podcast. But anyone have any final? Anyone have any
weird dicks?
Final thoughts on? I guess everything.
So,
no, you can't say that word. No,
oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Aw.
I'll go last.
Okay, mine. I really wanted to participate. I really actively did, but with my condition, shit just, it was out of the cards, literally.
How much did you pay that rogue wave to take your finger to get out of the house?
$7,500.
You're so excited.
And a $2,200 flight to get home early. Ugh, what
as soon name. As you saw that finger on the dock, you thought, I can smoke weed all January.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that was the first thing. I was jumping up and down, grabbing my hand, and I was thinking in my head, like, oh my God, I can lower my inhibitions immediately after this happens. No, I look forward to contending next year and having fun with this. And I think it'll be a fantastic opportunity for some quick motivation to stay healthy during the winter months that normally are a lull.
Oh, yeah. Steve?
It was a good learning experience. Really made you look and see all your vices.
Yeah, exactly.
And kind of like, I don't know. It was good.
Yeah. I like the addition of a lot of more energy.
Yeah.
Energy and clarity all the time. Like I said, you just made even stuff like going to work. When you have that much more energy and more of a positive mental attitude, it's even made work more enjoyable.
Like, I don't hate everybody.
Yeah. Because I got actually really good night's rest.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's true, Brian.
You hope that if someone breaks into your house, they do it in January.
Yeah.
You'll be the most clear-headed, ready to roll.
I know exactly how this went down.
Yeah.
It's not like I was a little foggy, a little, you know. I actually say that I thought my memory was bad just because of like hangovers and stuff like that. It's still bad.
So, yeah.
I got, you know, it's actually out of the positive things, what you said earlier in the podcast, like you still had those, but even all the negative stuff, I'm like, oh, that's just me. That's not,
right.
I usually would blame it on other things, but when I'm like, I'm just, you know, have those quirks.
When you mentioned that, because I did my sober month in November.
Yeah.
So it was before you guys. When you mentioned that, I thought I was getting so sharp during November. I'm like, man, I really need to double think like about doing anything on weekdays just so I could be sharp for work.
Yeah.
And then as soon as like everything happened and I went back to not worrying and just being taking my vices at night as I like my memory is just as good. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm just getting it was like I'm just becoming more informed at my work and learning things better. It's not the lack of substance that makes
yeah.
I mean, it was relieving to hear that.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Cool. Well, thanks for doing this, guys.
Yeah,
you know, we'll have to do another Death Pit edition of maybe some other talks or something like that in the future and all that. But
we should talk about that wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Def Leppard sucks.
But, yeah, you can find all the stuff at turnerpodcast.com. That is T-R-A-I-N-O-R podcast.com. And, yeah, let's do this again. And, yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, nice. Good. Good.